Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Rick Mullaney, the director of the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University, and welcome to Policy Matters, WJCT's quarterly radio program that takes a close look at public policy issues that matter to you and to the future of our city, state, and nation. Thanks so much for being with us. On our program today, we are very pleased to welcome Matt Carlucci, a former city council president, and Earl Johnson, a local attorney and civic leader, to discuss the 50th anniversary of Jacksonville's consolidated government and what it has meant to our past and what it means to our future. Mr. Carlucci and Mr. Johnson are co-chairs of a task force to commemorate the 50th anniversary, which is October 1st, about 3 weeks from now. Matt and Earl, thank you both for being on today's program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. A lot to discuss. And if you'd like to join today's conversation, please give us a call at 549-2937. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 549-2937. Well, there's a lot to talk about. And certainly, we are going to talk about the fact that both of your fathers served on the first city council 50 years ago. But my first question is going to be a straight one, and that is a straightforward one, which is, Jackson, some of our listeners are new to North Florida or new to Jacksonville. So, Earl, I'm going to start with you. What is consolidation, and why are we making such a big deal out of it?
Well, thank you for having us, Rick, and that's a great question. You know, if you weren't here 50 years ago, you probably wouldn't have an idea of what our city government and county government is made of in terms of how we're structurally fitted. And so consolidation, put simply, is the marriage of county and city government into one new government. And here in Jacksonville, that was the city of Jacksonville, the old core city, with the county of Duval, creating about 840 square miles, the largest city in land, I think, this side of Juneau.
You know, Matt, Earl just mentioned this creation of a new government with countywide jurisdiction, which clearly was the signature, the most significant part of the new government, this unique government that went into effect on October 1st of 68. But a second part of that change was the strong mayor form of government. How about commenting a little bit on that? You've been on the city council, you've been the council president. How about talking about the strong mayor form of government, how significant that is?
Well, it's significant because prior, the pre-consolidated government really didn't have a voice that spoke for the whole county. It could speak maybe some to the city, but the government really did not have a strong mayor. He just happened to be another city commissioner with the title mayor. Under consolidation, it's more of a Madisonian type of government where you got the mayor's office, then you got which is the administrative branch, and the legislative branch was the council, and of course you got the judicial. But when you have a strong mayor who comes to Jacksonville or wins office and takes that seat in the mayor's office with a vision, he or she has the ability to communicate that to the whole county and hopefully build a consensus to propose something that will move us forward. And other mayors have done that. Mayor Godbold made great strides with downtown. Tommy Hazzuri made great strides with tolls and odor. Ed Austin, the Jaguars and River City Renaissance. John Delaney had the Better Jacksonville Plan. And so each of these mayors, and Alvin Brown had the DVI, the Downtown Vision Authority, and he brought a lot of excitement to the idea that downtown was somewhere we needed to make something of. And now you have Lenny Curry, who took our pension problem to the public. And so that mayor has the opportunity to speak to the city and build consensus and move the city forward. We never had that before consolidation. So our town was like a sleeping giant. We were a sleeping giant when we consolidated. We shook off the slumber, and we began to become a great city, and we're going to be greater in the future.
You're listening to WJCT. This is Policy Matters on 89.9 FM. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 549-2937, 549-2937. Today's special guests are Matt Carlucci and Earl Johnson, and we're talking about the 50th anniversary of consolidation, which is a few weeks away, and this unique form of government. Earl, as Matt just pointed out, pre-1968, the mayor was simply on the city council. There was no strong mayor. Pre-68, there was no consolidated government. This is by far the most unique form of local government in the state of Florida. And do you, and what is your assessment of this, of this structure of government?
It is incredibly unique to Florida, and probably one of only a handful of governments throughout our country that's set in this manner. And as Matt said, it is Madisonian, meaning it's a federal style. I believe that the mayor's true strength comes in his or her ability to appoint. And these mayoral appointments throughout city departments, divisions, really help to put forward a mayor's initiative and a mayor's programs and a mayor's vision. So it is unique to Jacksonville's consolidated government. As before, the mayor was simply a member of council. The notion of, you know, very efficient government, whether you were talking about city or county pre-1968 here in Jacksonville, just wasn't there. I mean, there was so much duplicative services happening. You know, you had the mayor of the council of the city council. You had the Duval commissioners. You had a recreation department for the city, a recreation department for the county, a sheriff's office for the county, a police department for the city, city jail, county jail. You get the picture. And so these governments, although they served often the very same people, had no responsibility to coordinate or communicate or plan. They did not. It resulted in large inefficiency.
So, well, Matt, you and Earl both, I'm going to talk about your dads in just a second, but before I do, both of you are co-chairs of this task force that's to commemorate this 50th anniversary. And how about telling or letting our listeners know a little bit about what this task force is doing and what some of the plans are and what's open to the public?
Well, first, I have to say it's a great honor to be a part of this and a co-chair with Earl Johnson. Earl's been a friend for a long time, but I have such great respect for Earl, his skills, and his understanding of consolidation and the story about his dad. But I got to find my glasses. We have a lot of things that we're doing. First of all, there was a book written by Richard Martin right after consolidation, and it was called A Quiet Revolution. And that book has been updated every anniversary over the years, and so this will be perhaps one of the last times when we've updated the book. And it's going to be for sale, and it's a heck of an interesting read, particularly for students of government and people that just like the history of Jacksonville. Then we have a Speaker's Bureau that you've played a huge part in, and going to the different rotaries and Men in Acts and organizations around town. We have done something very unique this time, in that we have taken a video because of PRI's generosity, that company in town that does productions. And they have pro bono videoed many people who are historically connected to city or to consolidated government for the city that are still with us. And that's that's an oral history that they're putting together for us on tape. Then we've got what you are putting on with the Jacksonville University Public Mayoral Forum. With the Public Policy Institute.
Let me just interject that for our listeners, that because the public is invited on Wednesday, September 19th from 8 to 9 p.m., co-hosted with WJXT Channel 4. We're very pleased that all living mayors since consolidation, our current mayor Lenny Curry, as well as all the previous mayors, John Delaney, John Payton, Jake Godbold, Tommy Hazuri, and Alvin Brown, will all be there. And the public's invited to an hour-long discussion on taking a look at our past, but also, Matt, looking to our future. So you and the task force are putting together a pretty big agenda, of course, and there's an October 1st event too.
Well, and the October 1st event is where, you know, we talk about the past and the present, but we want to talk about the future as well. And so at the October 1st event, we'll have three speakers, and we're going to honor different individuals that were important players in consolidation. You, Rick Mullaney, Earl Johnson will be two of the speakers. Hans Tansler, the third, will make some remarks. And then, of course, the mayor will give the concluding remarks. What I want to see happen with this is that because we've aimed a generation that may not have lived back through these years of turmoil in Jacksonville, and so they're not really totally understanding what consolidation brought us out of. And we want to better explain why consolidation was important, how it can be leveraged to make our city even greater than it is, how it's been leveraged to bring us to where we are today. We're also going to, there's five council members living still from that first original council that will be honored. We will be honoring Hans Tansler, the first mayor of consolidated government, and also the last mayor of pre-consolidated government. We will be honoring Earl Johnson's father, who is, in my opinion, one of the great profiles of statesmanship and courage in all of Jacksonville history. It's going to be a heartwarming event, and it's going to be an inspiring event because we're not just talking about the past here. We are talking about the future, but we also want to reach into the future and how we can leverage this great superior mechanism of government to make Jacksonville even greater in those bold hopes that our founding fathers had to actually come true to become the bold new city of the South.
I'm Rick Mullaney with the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University, and you're listening to Policy Matters on WJCT. Today we have two very special guests, Matt Carlucci and Earl Johnson, the co-chairs of a task force to commemorate the 50th anniversary. Their fathers both served on the first city council. Please join us if you have a question you'd like to ask or join the discussion. Give us a call at 549-2937, 549-2937. Earl, Matt just mentioned, and by the way, there's some big topics. If you have a question, for example, we'll discuss this during this program. Could we have gotten the Jaguars without the Better Jacksonville Plan? I mean, without a consolidated government. Could we have had the Better Jacksonville Plan without consolidated government? But Matt mentioned turmoil leading to this sort of revolutionary change in government. Earl, how about commenting on what began to lead or what led to this very dramatic change in local government? Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 549-2937.
Well, by 1966, Jacksonville and the surrounding county had 11 elected officials indicted on over 140 charges of fraud and bribery. We had mass ineffectiveness with our county and city governments, large portions of the core city, which ended really at the north bank of St. John's River and went north. Large portions of the old core city had been left for decades unattended. Our county school system had been disaccredited. With white flight leaving the core city to the outer parts of the county, the tax base was being lost in the core city as well. And so from an economic, political standpoint, we were a county, a region, if you will, that was in flux at that moment, sort of a perfect storm. A local leader by the name of Claude Yates wrote what was now referred to as the Yates Manifesto, where he considered a notion which had been raised over the decades, that the city of Jacksonville and the county of Duval become one government, and that we streamline these governments into one efficient, more professional, more accountable form so that we could, for example, when you called for a first responder, you knew who was coming, whether it was going to be city or county. You didn't know back then. That, of course, has resulted in our first responders and our system being one of the finest, if not the finest, in the nation. But that kind of an environment is what led to this movement to bring these two governments together.
Well, that's a very good description of what happened. And we have a caller, I think, who wants to focus a little bit on what our future holds. Stanley, welcome to the program.
Yes, how you doing today?
Stanley, it's great to have you on the program. Do you have a question for Mr. Johnson or Mr. Carlucci?
Well, I don't have a question. I have a comment.
Sure, a comment.
Yes, because I am very entrenched into the city government here, and you're talking about the Tale of Two Cities. When we talked about consolidation when it first came about, it was by bringing everybody together. But as you look at it today, you're still talking about a divided city. When before consolidation, you had the county and the city, where the county made it possible for hardship to be on the city, which was mostly controlled by African American. Since that time, you have 19 city council, 14 regular city council, and 5 at large. But if you look at the power structure, it's only focused on one race. And Jacksonville is a divided city.
Stanley, thank you. Stanley, thank you very much for your comment. And Earl, I think that's it's a good question, a good comment, and it leads to a natural conversation I was going to ask you about, and that is the role of your father in the reform effort and the role of your father and as a leading African-American leadership in terms of making consolidated government happen and his being the first African-American president on the Jacksonville City Council. Can you comment on Stanley's comment?
I would just make one correction from Stanley's comment. The old core city was not controlled by black elected officials. While the black electorate was growing in the old core city and certainly becoming a majority electorate, the government itself was not a quote-unquote black government. So my father at the time in the mid-60s was in his 30s and an attorney. He had by that time represented Martin Luther King and Ambassador Young and Reverend Abernathy in St. Augustine and Jacksonville in the civil rights movement. He had filed nearly all of the school desegregation cases in the state of Florida. He had been tutored by Thurgood Marshall while in law school at Howard on Brown versus Board of Education. He became Jacksonville's first black member of the Jacksonville Bar Association in 1958 when he and mom got here. My grandfather was on the board at the Afro-American Life Insurance Company at the time. When Dad got here in 58, he immediately began getting involved with Stetson Kennedy and others in various civil rights issues. He was interested in government. He had run for state legislature unsuccessfully in the early 60s. As this electorate began to become more black, it was widely fancied that my dad, if he wanted, would become the first black mayor of the old core city. And that was certainly a consideration that he had to weigh. And ultimately, my father decided that he was going to not run for the old core city mayor's position, but that he was going to support consolidation. He joined the task force at the time that ultimately set forth and presented the consolidation plan as secretary. And so he became what they referred to as a white hat. My dad's personal view and his outlook was a long view. He absolutely understood that Jacksonville, as with most major cities at the time, and in fact, Jacksonville was probably leading the way, was headed to for a black administration, a black majority electorate in the core city. Whether you look at Detroit, Atlanta, D.C., St. Louis, L.A., they've all experienced it. And so that became sort of the idea of the modern city, and certainly my father was poised to take advantage of that. But ultimately, he wanted a consolidated city and county government because that allowed us to capture those tax dollars that had escaped and then have the real financial means to address the issues of the neglected parts of our community that had gone for so long without care. And so that was his mindset about consolidation and why he supported consolidation. And, you know, when he was on the task force in 1966, he challenged the task force that it not only make clear that consolidation is the best hope for the black community, but that it was the best hope for the entire community. And so that was his focus, and that was his decision-making as he joined consolidation.
You're listening to Policy Matters on WJCT quarterly radio program. Please, our guests are Matt Carlucci and Earl Johnson. Please give us a call if you'd like, or like to join the conversation. We're at 549-2937, 549-2937. And Matt, I want to turn to you also on this reform movement. Earl certainly has laid out some of the turmoil of the 60s, also talked about the role that his father played in the reform effort. I'd like to talk a little bit about your father and the role he played in the reform effort back at that time.
I'd love to, but I want to address the previous caller because this is an issue that, you know, still comes up. And this task force has made it a point not to silence voices. We've made it a point not to make it a big celebration because we know there are still public services and opportunities that need to go to some areas that are neglected. So we would like to see when this is over with that those problems that the gentleman was talking about before, that we are revitalized to handle and to take care of those. But that doesn't mean we can't also reach into the future. But we need to look at this thing from a whole point. And so we have, when we put the task force together, we reached out and we've had involvement from the NAACP, the Jacksonville Urban League, and also from the SCLC. It's been a diverse group. I see you looking at, we might be ready for a commercial, but anyway, my father's big part in this was he discovered we had a lot of corruption. And so he uncovered a lot of that corruption, and then he became, once elected, the chairman of the First Rules Committee, and they basically put the government together from a framework of nothing.
Matt, I want to explore that some more in the second half of our program. Yes. And also talk about the future. But we're going to take a brief break. I want to thank so much to Matt Carlucci and to Earl Johnson for being our guest today. After a brief break, we'll be back and discussing the 50th anniversary of consolidated government, what it means to our future. Hope you'll stay with us. This is Rick Mullaney. I'm with Jacksonville University, and you're listening to Policy Matters on 89.9 FM.
Our days are filled with social media, TV, radio, and countless websites. Especially now, you need the context that comes from the kind of journalism on WJCT. Help us keep strong journalism alive to ensure you hear the whole picture. Become a WJCT sustainer. Start your monthly donations today at wjct.org/radio or at 353-9528.
After 9/11, President Bush sent troops to Afghanistan, and he helped build a brand new American-style university there. The Taliban have shot it up, attacked it with truck bombs, but the students are determined to get an education to serve their country.
My goal is to be a smart politician because I know Afghanistan needs smart politicians more than everyone.
Afghanistan's American University on the world. This afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
Our fall fundraising campaign is on right now. Did you notice? And did you notice we're not interrupting your programs? To keep that up, we need your support. Donate at wjct.org/radio or 353-9528 and keep radio uninterrupted.
Welcome back to Policy Matters, WJCT's quarterly radio program on public policy matters that matter to you. I'm Rick Mullaney, the director of the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University, and thank you for staying with us. Our guests today are Matt Carlucci and Earl Johnson. At the end of the first half hour, during the first half of the program, we took a look backward a little bit, discussing what is consolidated government, sort of what led to it, and some of the issues surrounding consolidated government. For the next half hour, we'd like to talk a little bit about what difference has it made over the last half century and what difference might it make to the future. So, Earl, I'm going to start with you on this one. And if you take a look at the last half century, what do you see as some of the biggest initiatives and what do you think the role of consolidated government has been over the last half century? There's a simple question for you, Earl.
That's all.
By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation and be a part of this, please give us a call at 549-2937, 549-2937. Earl?
You know, it's a great experiment, right? Consolidation and the marriage of these two governments, city and county. One of the most interesting results, I think, of consolidation is the fact that we love to talk about Duval and Duval County and scream it, and we yell it at the games and in our classrooms. And Cat Williams said that Duval County is the most famous county in the world, and he may have a point. If you go over to England and listen to the London Jags scream out Duval, we were screaming out Duval this weekend up in New York City. The popularity of our county is such is maybe counterintuitive, but I believe it's because of consolidation. It's
part of the identity.
That's right. It's part of our identity. It's our county and city are interchangeable, right? Duval, Jacksonville, interchangeable to those of us who live here. And so that's been one of the neat things about it. But when I think about the stretch, the massiveness of our city and the beautiful parts of our community, we're restoring our river now. Prior to consolidation, over 100 million gallons of raw sewage were going into our river daily. We have preserved some of the most pristine areas of our beaches, Big and Little Talbot Islands, for example. Our park system is one of the finest in the country. We have, I think, come a long way with regard to our infrastructure. We have work to be done, absolutely, still in core parts of the old city and more rural parts of our county remain on septic, for example. The overall nature of our government in terms of its level of professionalism, accountability, responsiveness is there. I certainly reject the notion that this is a tale of two cities. When you look at black leadership, for example, in Jacksonville over the last 50 years in consolidation, we've served at every level, whether it's general counsel, the sheriff, mayor. Right now, under Mayor Curry, there are more black leaders of divisions, directors, than ever before here in Jacksonville. I think those are some of the results of consolidation. Now, would we have gotten our football team otherwise, for example? That's one of the great questions. And I don't believe so. There is a benefit to the collective voice from one region. I mean, this county is a region of Florida, and we are Northeast Florida. And there's a benefit to speaking with one voice, to having a strong mayor form, to go after things that are important. I remember my father saying in the 70s that, once we got our football team, this town was gonna rock. And 25 years after landing the Jaguars, we have become a destination. You no longer have to say Jacksonville, Florida, for people to know where you're talking about. And the economic impact of that alone has been significant. But we remain, there's work to be done. We know what has to be done here. And I'm very, very hopeful about the future of consolidation.
Well, I have a call in the air from William. And William, do you have a question for either Earl or a comment on today's conversation?
Yes, sir. I hear Mr. Carlucci speaking on the great things, but I'm still trying to see, if you look at the south side of Jacksonville, well, town center and all the businesses there, and then you look at the north side, which just have that River City Marketplace. Then you look at the unemployment in the black community, and then you look at the businesses of in the white community, and it seems like he's portraying a picture that Jacksonville, because I heard him on Mr. Ed Dean's show talking this stuff, and it's something missing, because the African American community probably is so poor. You know how they do that per capita income on average salaries and stuff? Well, one group got $70,000, the other group making $20,000. So this picture he's talking about, the Jaguars and all that, has nothing to do with everyday people. And it's a bit disdain to say, you know, we got so many black politicians, that we're talking about economics, sir. Let's discuss that.
Matt, this question's for both of you. I know, Earl, you said it's not a tale of two cities, and Matt, you mentioned some of the strengths earlier, but Willie raises the notion of the fact that still countywide, there are some places that need very substantial investment that are underserved. And how about how about addressing what Willie brought up in terms of serving the entire county?
Well, I think he's exactly right, and I apologize if I came misunderstood. But you can go to 44th and Boulevard. You can go through the east side, which I have been through those areas a lot in the last 6 months, in other areas of Jacksonville, even on the south side that are poor, that are still wanting public services, water, curb and guttering. And there's no doubt about that. In economic opportunities, you talk to people in certain parts of town and they say, we have nothing for our kids to do. And so Jacksonville's got areas of problems that we've got to address. The only point I would make is that I don't think you blame that on consolidation. I think perhaps you blame that on, the government's is only as good as the people that run it. And we've got to take care of those issues, but we've got to also reach out into the future. So I think there's a balance there, but I am in no way tone deaf to the fact that we have problems that we've got to solve.
You know, at the mayoral forum a week from tomorrow, actually, on September 19th, from 8 to 9, we're going to have all six living mayors since consolidation over the last half century. And I think it'll be a great question to talk to them about their administrations and the investments in public infrastructure and serving countywide. Because certainly, as we discussed in the first half of the program, when you combine consolidated government with a strong mayor form of government, it gives the mayor of Jacksonville a great opportunity to lead on a whole bunch of ways. And Earl, you mentioned earlier, you talked about one voice and the collective voice. And I do want to borrow a little bit of language from a former boss and mentor, Ed Austin, who once said that he was, like Hans Tanzer, he was a big fan of consolidated government. He said it was the best form of local government in the state. And I think he even went beyond that sometimes. He said it created accountability, it created efficiency, but he also said it created clout. And what he meant by that was that the leadership opportunity to get countywide support and consensus and public and private assets to pursue transformational change, such as the Jaguars or the Better Jacksonville Plan or the Super Bowl or infrastructure investment or public pension reform, as you saw with Lenny Curry, or Jacksonville Journey, as you saw with John Payton. How about commenting on this sort of piece? Because there is this concern that we have big initiatives, but we also have concerns of underinvestment in needed parts of our county.
Well, I think over the last 40 years, what we've seen is a lot of natural growth happening outside of the core city. And the numbers, as I last saw them, were trending that there were more African Americans percentage-wise in the county today than in 1966. So the number of African Americans has increased. However, African Americans live all over Jacksonville, all over the county. And so while the old core was limited to north of the river, east of, and far west, and then just east to the old east side downtown, we find that the economic development is lacking in parts of the old core city. And you know, what we see is oftentimes infrastructure goes with economic development, right? And so areas that haven't had new investment from private businesses in a while are often left with lacking infrastructure. And so when Willie talks about the growth that he sees in the north city town center, or where he sees it south of Southside, or in Mandarin, that's where the growth has absolutely happened over the last 40 years. And that growth has been both black and white. And when you look to see who lives there, that's what you see in Jacksonville. And so what we have, though, are areas where there are food deserts, lack of economic investment. And that, frankly, notwithstanding programs and initiatives and efforts of administrations, including this one, to counter those issues. And for example, one thing that the mayor's done recently is this $11 million investment in historically black cemeteries in the old core city that had gone for decades without being addressed. That's an example of what a strong mayor form of consolidated government can do.
You're listening to Policy Matters on WJCT, a quarterly radio program that takes a look at a number of public policy issues that affect our lives. Today, we're discussing the 50th anniversary of consolidated government, which is on October 1st, and what's happened in the past and what it looks like in the future. Very pleased to have two special guests, the co-chairs of a task force to commemorate the 50th anniversary, Matt Carlucci, the former city council president, and Earl Johnson, a local attorney. Both of their fathers served on the first Jacksonville City Council. And if you'd like to join the conversation or have a comment, please give us a call at 549-2937, 549-2937. Matt, I want to turn to you for a second and sort of step back and you take a look back. And certainly you've served on the city council. You've been president of the city council. Your father served on the city council. You grew up here in Jacksonville. As you take a look back, and then I want to talk about what lies ahead, what's your assessment of both strengths and weaknesses as you look back on the operation of this very unique form of government over the last 50 years?
Well, when I look at where we were 50 years ago, and I was here 50 years ago, and I was tagging along with my father all over the place in the effort to pass consolidation, and you see how far this city has come, I make no apology about that. We've come a long ways, and I don't think we would have gotten there without consolidation. I don't think we would have eliminated tolls, odors. All of those played a huge factor in our quality of life. When we had tolls, we were being assessed fines by the federal government because of the ozone violations that Jacksonville had. When you take a look at what Better Jacksonville did, now Better Jacksonville reached out into a lot of areas that needed those infrastructure improvements. It's the economic improvements that I think that are needed today. And that's where I think our mayor is trying to focus, and I think every mayor is trying to focus on bringing better jobs, better opportunities. The best way to do that is to have a greater city. And if you have a greater city and you have a football team, if you have a downtown that's thriving, which we're on the tipping point of having a great downtown, which will generate a lot of good-paying jobs. If you have good quality of life in Jacksonville. That's going to create all of those opportunities that everybody needs in Jacksonville in order to improve their quality of life.
Thank you, Matt. We have a number of calls waiting. And Annie, welcome to the program. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Actually, a comment.
Okay.
I'm a native of Jacksonville. I was born a few days after Hurricane Dora. Went to Rains High School. And I just wanted to add to your last comment, person that made a comment. And I do see the disparity between the have and have-nots. I'm a visiting nurse, and I drive Duval County every day. And when I go through San Marco, there's constant construction on the roadway in that area. I go down Laura Street, potholes, garbage. It just seems like, and again, the sprawl, you know, we need to embrace our older neighborhoods, and we're not. I mean, everything's going to the south side. It's blowing up out there. But our old neighborhoods like Arlington, I know things are in the works, but it just seems like we forget the older neighborhoods, and these are working class people, but we tend to look at the bright, shiny things versus what we've had, like Springfield. Springfield's been struggling for years. So I just wanted to be off the air and hear what your commenters have to respond to that.
Ann, thank you very much for your comment. Earl?
Ann's dead on. You know, I have friends who have invested in Springfield, and they did so in the early 2000s, and many came before and since them. And that is an example of a neighborhood. It is a huge historical neighborhood, of course, but as an example of a neighborhood that is turning the corner from where it was 20 years ago. And so you've got folks buying homes there, for example, and coming back, and economic development happening there and infrastructure at the same time. But we do have work to do. I think that the economic development has followed the growth. The growth has been, frankly, outside of the core city. And that's and it's not been based upon race. 33% of our county is black, approximately. And that includes the part of the county that's not in the core city. So we all, we're on this all together. I guess it was President Kennedy that said, rising tide lifts all boats. And so, we've been fortunate to have economic growth here in parts, but rededicating ourselves to those old neighborhoods. And as Ann said, those old neighborhoods provide for working class families livability. And that's got to be a focus.
We have a number of other callers. Tiffany, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I actually have a question. I'd now take my answer off the air, but I'd like to know your thoughts on with a few of the school closures. For example, Northwestern, which I attended as a middle school student here in Jacksonville. I'm a Jacksonville native. But with the school closures here in our city, would you mind explaining that impact that it has on a neighborhood from an economic standpoint, please? And I'll take my answer off air.
Matthew, that was Tiffany. She wanted to talk a little bit about school closures and a couple pieces, I guess. Maybe a question, how does that relate to consolidated government, which you can address? And the other is the impact that has on neighborhoods.
Well, I interned at Northwestern Middle School or Junior High back in those days. And that was there's a lot of people, a lot of kids in that school back in those days. And if schools are going to close, it's imperative, and council doesn't have much to do with the school system, so I don't claim to be an expert on this, but I do know one thing. If you're going to close a school, you've got to open another school that provides better opportunities for those same students, because education, as we all know, is the great equalizer. Parents getting involved in their children's school, coaches getting involved. So many of the issues we have socially, we have to all be a part of that. I think about so many children of families I know in struggling areas, and they're so thankful to the coaches, to the neighbors that help those parents raise their children. My kids had great influences in their lives from their coaches and from their teachers. It's about all of us pitching in. It really is.
You know, Matt, one of your comments was that city council doesn't have much to do with it. And I think sometimes there's a confusion between consolidated government and the school district, and people trying to combine the two. Florida's constitution makes each county in Florida a school district, and that's why Florida has some of the largest school districts in the nation, and why Duval County is like the 20th largest school district in the country, sixth largest in Florida. But the fact that we have a countywide school district and a countywide consolidated government are really two separate matters constitutionally. And I think a lot of times, and I hear it a lot too, people talk about consolidated government and how the schools were consolidated. It's easy to sort of get those two intertwined. But your point is a really good one. There is no doubt, however, that the closure of schools does have, as Tiffany mentions, a big impact in those areas that are hit by it. We do have some more calls. I do want to try to get as many as we can in the remaining time. Charlotte, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us.
Hi, glad to be here. I've got a question that relates to the areas that are outside of consolidated Jacksonville. I'm a recent transplant to Florida. And I know that the beaches areas, for example, are part of Duval County, but aren't necessarily part of the incorporated Jacksonville City. And I'm just wondering what benefits consolidation brings to areas like that.
Earl, thank you very much for the question. Earl, do you want to talk about that a little bit? We can go back a little bit of history in the vote in 67 and how the beaches and Baldwin actually two different votes and what the impact has been since then.
Well, Baldwin, which is in the far west part of Duval County, Jacksonville Beach, Neptune Beach, Atlantic Beach, all have their own separate city governments with regard to mayors and city councils. Atlantic and Neptune, is it Neptune only that has their police department? Does Atlantic have a police department?
I don't
Rick?
Atlantic has the Jacksonville Police Department.
That's right. Atlantic, and then, of course, Jacks Beach is the Jacksonville Police Department. Baldwin had a department for some decades, and about 10 or 15 years ago lost that, and now the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office has that jurisdiction. So we did carve out in consolidation these little niches. And so to answer the question, what's the benefit? I would say this, ad valorem taxes. These county taxes affect the county in its entirety, whether you're at the beaches or Baldwin, and Jacksonville in consolidation has enjoyed some of the lowest ad valorem taxes in the nation. So firstly, while collecting a larger tax base, we've actually lowered the tax ad valorem percentages. And then, of course, the beaches, Atlantic, Jacks Beach, Baldwin, take advantage of the sheriff's office service. And so those are areas of assistance. In addition to that, there's garbage pickup.
Well, let me say this. The beaches complement Jacksonville. Jacksonville complements the beaches. In each of these four cities actually have an interlocal agreement with Jacksonville.
That's right.
And so we provide some things that they need from us, and that is a wonderful benefit to the city. Many times that's police. Many times it's just additional taxes from excise taxes to ad valorem taxes, which helps the beaches. But my goodness, where would we be without the beaches to offer, to our citizens and to people that come in from out of town to go to the beaches and enjoy the wonderful areas that they have? So it's a complementary relationship. And one reason they didn't want to join in and we didn't force it back in those days was the beaches were doing fine. It was the city government that was so corrupt. It was the sewage in the river. It was decay of the older city limits. So, those were the issues of the time that it was a crisis that created not the best solution, not the ultimate solution, but I think the best solution that you could possibly find, and hoping that we leverage it for the entire county, both old core city and the newer parts.
Well, we're almost to the end of today's program, and so I do want you both to look briefly into your crystal ball We've talked a lot about consolidated government in the last half century. You look to the future. What do you see are some of the big challenges facing our city, and what role does consolidated government potentially play in addressing those issues? And I'll throw that out to either one of you, whoever wants to jump in.
I'll take on one.
All right, Matt.
One of the biggest issues we have is almost 40% of our population lives just above or at or below the poverty level. And we have got to bring better job opportunities to our city for better pay, and that's a high percentage, and that's not an easy one to tackle.
Let's talk about that for a second. Earl, do you think from an economic development standpoint, this form of government gives Jacksonville advantage in addressing what Matt Carlucci just talked about, this need to address large numbers that may be below the poverty line?
It does, because it provides an opportunity for there to be a concerted effort, one government, and specifically with a strong mayor form here, it does provide an opportunity for these kinds of issues to be dealt with a kind of surgical precision and effectiveness that otherwise would not exist.
Matt, anything else, any other key issues? We're a little short on today's time. Any other key issues? Economic development is certainly a big one for the future.
It is, and I think we got great times ahead. I think we got great challenges to fix. But I would like to invite everybody out to October the 1st to the old library downtown, which is now the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation building.
It's a free event.
To be a part of the event. It's free. To listen to what's going to be said. And I think people will walk out inspired to take the city and make it better where it needs to be better, but also to reach into the future. It's about all of Jacksonville. It's about Jacksonville. It's going to be a great event.
Matt, I want to thank you and Earl for all you're doing as co-chairs to commemorate this 50th anniversary. The invitation to October 1st. Don't forget the September 19th event at Jacksonville University with all the mayors of consolidated government. We're out of time for today. Thanks to all of you for listening and for calling in. You've been listening to Policy Matters on WJCT 89.9 FM. I'm Rick Mullaney with the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University. Hope you'll join us again next time. Thanks for being with us.